Hey, we're going to continue the hour now by talking about an issue that is having a significant impact in a variety of different ways in our society and culture, and that is the issue of young people's mental health, specifically as it relates to social isolation. Certainly, one of the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic has been a big negative impact on all of our mental health. It's increased our stress and anxiety, and it's also increased our isolation, the extent of time that which we've spent apart from each other and in our homes, not engaging in interactions the way that we ordinarily do. That's got a negative impact on mental health as well. And we're starting to get some data and numbers on what the impact has been and what the impact of that will be. We're joined in the studio by Jane Cooley-Fruworth, who is an economist at UNC and a faculty fellow at the Carolina Population Center, and her work deals with this exact topic. Dr. Fruworth, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've recently done a study about mental health in college students specifically. What do we know? What data are coming back?
Yeah, so I worked with a research team of undergraduates and a colleague in social medicine, Krista Pereira, and a bunch of students. And we collected data on UNC Chapel Hill students before the pandemic. And that's kind of what's unique about our study, is that we have these data on first-year students before the pandemic. And then when the pandemic hit, we thought it was really important to follow up with them to see how they were doing in terms of their mental health and determinants of mental health. And you know, even before the pandemic, the numbers were really striking. Rates of anxiety and depression symptoms, 22% for anxiety and 26% were experiencing depression symptoms. And then once the pandemic hit, these went up dramatically. So even just 4 months into the pandemic, 26% were showing symptoms of anxiety and 33% symptoms of depression, which was really striking. And then speaking particularly to social isolation, I think part of the story is that, yes, it peaked a lot 4 months into the pandemic. It went up from 24% when they were in school to 30% 4 months into the pandemic when we were in lockdown and at home. But I think also what's really important is just the rates of social isolation even before the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And then
I'm actually surprised it only went up 6%.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
You would think it would have gone up higher. So that was maybe surprising. And then we're just getting numbers in from 18 months into the pandemic. And this is when these students at UNC Chapel Hill were beginning their third year at UNC. And those numbers are a little more encouraging. So social isolation went back down to its original numbers as of when they were just first-year students. So about 24% were reporting feeling usually are always isolated from others. Depression also went down a little bit compared to 4 months into the pandemic, but anxiety symptoms have continued to rise. So now 31% of our students who are in their third year back at school and reporting even more anxiety symptoms than they did during 4 months into the pandemic. And so is still seeing these lasting effects.
How does all this compare with what you expected to find? Are these numbers surprising?
Yeah, so I honestly thought that under a normal cycle that students would, and we don't have good numbers to compare to, but my expectation was that once students were back in school and they already had their friends, that social isolation would have actually gone down. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that it just dropped back to first year levels was a little surprising to me. And I was actually surprised, just given what I've experienced of the students and continued struggles that they're having. I was surprised that the numbers weren't a little worse for depression symptoms, just mm-hmm. given all that they've been struggling with.
Are there particular like demographic groups of students that are hit more or less hard by this?
Really good question. So in our sample, Black students, non-Hispanic Black students were hit particularly hard in the 4 months into the pandemic. And just for full transparency, that could have been the pandemic, that could have been issues around social justice. And they continue to be hit really hard by the pandemic. And so they're a population I'm particularly concerned about. Interestingly, in terms of social isolation, Hispanic students, when they went home, they were less isolated.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a really surprise for us, that being in college was more isolating for them than being at home.
Did students talk to you? Did they tell you a reason why? Or
no.
It's just the numbers that are showing up?
Just the numbers.
So speaking with Jane Cooley Frewer, this is your study. Are there other studies of other similar populations elsewhere? How does this compare to those?
Yeah, there are a lot of really good studies that are out there on this. And honestly, the evidence is kind of mixed as to how anxiety and depression symptoms are changing over time. We're one of the few studies that has the pre and post data that we can compare to the exact same students.
And speaking again with Jane Cooley Frewerth, and we're talking about this particular study that just came out. And full disclosure, I'm thinking really strongly about social isolation in the context of this discussion that we've been having of mass shootings across the country, where I keep seeing social isolation coming back and back and back as a key causal factor, something that we really need to tackle directly and address if we want to address that particular issue. But depression and mental health and anxiety and social isolation have so many different impacts and effects on students and people who are experiencing them. What are some of those impacts?
Yeah, and so just to speak a bit to social isolation, I completely agree with you. It's a really strongly associated with anxiety and depression symptoms. It was one of our strongest predictors of the increase in anxiety and depression. The students who were more isolated had more of those symptoms. This is strongly reproduced in other studies that students who are isolated or lonely are also those who are struggling with mental health mm-hmm. symptoms. And then if you think about the consequences of this, I often think about as an economist, the consequences to wages and schooling completion. There are big consequences for the students about their ability to complete school or the types of jobs they'll get. But you're right, there are also these huge social consequences for issues like mass shootings, and UNC itself has struggled with suicide rates in this past year. And that is a huge consequence to not just the student and their family and their friends, but to the whole student body and the stress and the anxiety that creates and the sadness.
What do we know about remedies? What can address this effectively?
That's a really good question, and part of what I'm hoping to learn more as we go through this. The counseling centers are working really hard to help these students on campus. They're also, because the counseling centers are dramatically overbooked, they're also trying to find resources off campus to support these students. But counselors in general are overburdened in it, and that's a really difficult issue to tackle. And I think one we need to put a lot of thought into is how to get these resources to people in need, not just students, but outside of that. Other things that campus are doing are amazing. They're implementing coaching to try to help students learn how to be more resilient. They're implementing these classes to help students think about the skills they need to succeed in college so they don't feel as alone. And I'm optimistic about those things, because one of the things that we found was that challenges with distance learning was one of the things that drove increases in anxiety and depression during the pandemic. So if we provide more of that academic coaching to students of how to deal with the stress of college, I think that can help at the college level. And so I've been really impressed about the different ways that the colleges are trying to respond and trying to broaden that out with some of the work we're doing.
I know we're talking about college students, so I don't know if you have a frame of reference on this question, but academic coaching, when do you think that should start? How early?
Yeah, great question. So my sense is that first year students struggle so much with the transition from high school to college that any sort of support we can give them in their first year is really important for their success.
So, I mean, like high school, middle school, earlier than that?
High school, if there are ways that students can learn to be more independent, I think that could be really beneficial too. But because I think for many students, partly this is my experience of teaching first-year students in a first-year seminar, the figuring out how college works and how to deal with this new independence and nobody telling them where to be at a certain time or how to manage their time, any of those skills that we could begin teaching in high school would be incredibly useful.
Yeah, that no one telling you where to be. That was what hit me my first semester in college, for sure. Speaking with Jane Cooley Frewerth, and you just mentioned you're teaching first years, and I presume you were teaching first years through the pandemic and before the pandemic. How has that experience changed for you, if at all?
I wish I could speak more to that. This is actually this past year was my first year teaching first year students. So I didn't experience them before the pandemic, but my understanding from talking with colleagues and from my experience is that just that the variety of stressors they're experiencing is so much greater. And they've also experienced 2 years of high school disruptions that has left them, left it harder. I mean, I think it's harder for all of us to figure out how to relate to people again, mm-hmm. right? And so they're back with this whole new set of peers, trying to relate, trying to get to class on time, trying to navigate, should they come to class in person or go to class online? And all these are changes that have come into place. And then the additional stress for some of them of masking, which I think is going away. But this past year, it's been very prominent, the rates of COVID and how to deal with all those different stressors.
And I know your research in general has to do with the effect that peers have on each other when it comes to college students. How does that enter into mental health, social isolation, anxiety?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is a lot of evidence, not from my work personally, but there is a lot of evidence out there that depression actually spreads. And so that if you're in these peer groups where you're with other students who are depressed, that can make you more depressed or that can make you more anxious. And so there might be concerns about that. But I think from the bigger picture, what I worry about is how do we incorporate students into the student body so that they're not feeling isolated, right? Because we know that social isolation matters. And so what are those practices that we can come back to that would help the students feel more part of it? And I think some of the things that universities do well is trying to offer an orientation so that students get to know each other. But maybe we need to do more, because it's really shocking that even under normal circumstances, 24% of the students at a college are feeling isolated in their first year.
If there's a place where people can go to find more information on this, is there a good place, like online?
Yeah, so we have a website where we're posting all our results, transitions.web.unc.edu, if you'd like to hear more about the study.
And we'll have it linked up on our website, chapelboro.com, too, so you can head there and get the link, too, or just go there directly. We'll have to wrap it there, but Jane Cooley-Fruwer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Aaron.